we had in time today, yeah.
These are both had different things. I think we are in a wonderful atmosphere of touching something when you feel you talk about how things hang together. And to glimpse, the slightest glimpse on that level is just a wonderful spiritual delight. Even better. So,
A couple.
Do you know modern scientists who are who have been studying Aurobindo's writings?
No.
And who tries to make it raise?
There is one man who is central, who has been central in these things, and this is Ken Wilber. If you count him a scientist, everything is up to your opinion. But he really, the foundation of his whole thinking is Aurobindonian. Although he himself now supposes that he is two levels above the Aurobindo. But I have the greatest respect for him with his limitations. But he is the man who has made that very well known, this kind of seeing, chain of being and all the rest, evolution. He has made it known throughout by very many people. Otherwise, I don't know a single one. They cannot do that. Scientists cannot do that. One has to be always realistic. Scientists are living at universities or research centers. To get there is already something. I know of a nephew of mine who is a medical doctor. If he would ever have spoken at his university about something, mysticism or spirituality, he would at once have been discarded. So they have to make their grades with their professors and all that. Nobody can allow themselves to go outside of the limits that are permitted by scientism. Scientism is the dark side of science. This is the spirit there, and everybody who has tried otherwise has suffered for it. A couple have come out, but that is of course another subject. Excuse me, Sheldrake is not at all a member of the scientific mainstream. Not at all. Don't forget that one reviewer of his book said, this is a book for burning. Literally. Sheldrake is a special man. He has been here in the ashram of Bede Griffiths, a little to the south, near Tiruchirappalli, and so on. But he is not at all a member of the mainstream. I don't mean that he is not important, and it would be interesting to have a talk on Sheldrake and all his way of seeing. He is quite serious in everything he says, but it is something different from what we have been saying here. I mean that now in science, doors are opening to let in something else. Yeah.
George, I heard you say in a talk in Lodi it's been 30 years or more since Mother left her body, and she was talking about these intermediary beings. And you said something like, you were expecting them and you've been around looking for them. And I wonder if you're still looking at what you've seen.
Everybody who seriously dedicates his life to this is one of them. So I know many. Everybody who seriously dedicates his life to this vision, to this realization, we are all absolute beginners. The thing is so great and all that, but we are souls who have come from other lives to be here or wherever in the world also in Lodi, we are souls who have come to do that, to participate to the best of our possibilities. They are all transitory, intermediary beings. What you are asking, do I know yogis? Well, I would say that the intermediary beings, when they are really Aurobindonian, will be rarely visible, except for the people who have the same ways of meeting them. Have there been some, I can name two, this is Nalini Kantagupta and Champaklal. There may have been many others, and very probably, but I have not known him, Pavitra. Just considering the way he left his body and all that. Nalini, I'm absolutely sure, from own experience. And Champaklal, the way he was with the mother and when he did that, each in his own way. These, of course, are two names, and there may be all the others which I was not there, have not known, or was too blind to discern. Maybe here. Why not? We are all dedicating our life to that. No? So, but having come at my 73rd birthday, I am extremely happy that this was given to me. Nothing is ever easy. I am very proud of two things. That is the first one that I came here, and the second one that I came from the ashram to Auroville. The third one is that in one way or another I belong to the world and collaborate with my possibilities. And that is the transition in which we are, if only we keep the view and we keep the faith, if only we do not go off at a tangent into romantic yoga, which is always a compromise with traditional things. This is totally new, it's totally different, it is not defined, it is individual in all these things, because we have an individual life and we have an individual soul history. But we are called to be here, others are called to be somewhere else, all over the world. It's the yoga of the earth that is going on. Now I have dropped in very, I'm sorry. Yeah.
George, as you have been mentioning intermediary beings, so the mother not only distinguished between Superman and Superman being, but she also speak about several intermediary beings and possible beings, and even explain that even physically and psychologically, right now it's not possible to jump straight into the last thing. By the way, she charted like Charlie or Pat, the people transformation of integral yoga and so on. And yeah, when I came here the first time, it was in 73. And I was an extreme left militant. And my husband was a leader, extreme left and a philosopher. Our friends were university professor, all Marxist, artist, very straight. So I came back and I was quite reluctant that in showing what I was discovering to Charlotte. In fact, I thought they took it was meant. But when I show, not only politically they immediately accepted me, but even from the point of Darwin, so they could not see any problem with that kind of Darwinian evolution. So anyhow, there is a statement at a certain point of Charlotte who said that so far evolution has been proceeding materially. But now we have reached a stage when it will be the opposite process. It will be consciousness who is determining the evolution. I think that this is what makes the difference. But even when you were talking about the bombardment, something like this happened with spiders, with scorpions.
Everything with our own body.
So what I see is just a very, what you were saying, Darwin is this very small changes, but I think it's exactly the same thing which is happening. Very small changes, but the moment comes where it's not only the mind, and by the way, Shaolin himself talks about mind, for example, with Rani about the goat, and he clearly has been studying a movement of a goat to form a door closed,
you had a kind of that daughter, so he could really see that she was thinking what to do, and then she walked on the back of the house and went that way. So he was behind her, with her folks and other beings, not only the human being, but at this point in time, the spiritual consciousness. So that I don't see one field as antagonistic to the other.
Yeah, but what you say, of course, is true. And Darwinism in its broadest sense, evolution is a fact. And Darwin stands for the knowledge of evolution. What I was talking was about is the fact that they are narrowing it down. You know? So, and the other thing, when actually it was Sri Aurobindo who wrote about the dog who went through the back door. So what they have, he says, in animals, the mind is growing. The mind is there even in the atom, he says. It is there in all the plants, it is there, but in limited, and it grows till the human being becomes the incarnated mental being. Well, all these things are true.
So he uses the term teleonomy, for example. That there is purpose in nature. He says this all the time. And so how can we explain purpose in nature? Natural selection, of course, is the explanation that we want to give to it. But we're at the same time affirming purpose in the processes of nature. That's one example of science, which is hovering on the edge of the mystery, and another example is Penrose. The physicist Penrose says in his last book that in order to solve this problem of the relationship between consciousness and the irreality of the quantum field, it will be necessary for science itself to evolve into another way of thinking.
Yeah, but there is all the time, many of the scientists are so struck by the magnificence of nature that they drop into lyricism. And they have it all the time. Sagan was always quoting poets and this to say how great it is. Galt wrote about the grandeur of life, which are the last words of Darwin's book. So everything you say is all right, correct, all the things are correct. But I have to limit myself to an outline, and there are many, many variants on what I have said. As many scientists, so many theories. Let's stop there. All the best to you.
Stop with that.